Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Because there were two in I guess I would just say in Western civilization, because I can't speak for any other civilizations because I'm not from them. When I was growing up, there were two mythical things, more important than any of the others. If you could do this, you were assured your place in history. One was the conquering of Mount Everest. By Sir, who was not Sir Edmund Hillary at the time, who just later became Ed. Sir. He was
Eddie. Ed Hillary.
Eddie the Eagle is what a lot of people called him. Eddie Hillary.
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
All right, we got nothing today. We have absolutely nothing. So we're going to have a whole bunch of junk, including more stuff on Roger Bannister. We're going to quote Chan. I'm going to just launch into some despicable piece of writing that I read this morning, and I'll tell you about my leg and the tree that is gone.
Can I just piggyback on that open real quickly?
Yes.
Somebody tweeted me at Braun Film. This was Jason. I don't know how I would pronounce G-E-R-A-C-I. Garaci? Gerasi?
I don't know.
Who pointed out, after listening to yesterday's podcast,
we all got stupider.
We talked about potentially some swimming, the possibility of swimming, and he said
no.
The 22nd barrier for the 50 free was like a 4-minute mile for a long time, and that record's now in the 18-second.
Okay, race. I don't consider swimming the same as running in the pantheon of importance to athletic achievements. I don't.
Understood. Just wanted to point it out.
But swimming the English Channel was...
You think running's harder than swimming?
I think it's more accessible than swimming. I think more people do it.
Because you need water to swim.
Yeah, you got to have water. And then there could be a fish man in the water.
That's true.
And then some mute jumps in. And then the next thing you know, you're down the rabbit hole. Gary Braun is here. Tori Clark is here. Michael Kornheiser is here. Nigel is here to run the board and do the news. I want to first thank... I want to say we're a chatter. We have a small, but I think well-heeled crowd today.
Look at that, standing up.
Well-heeled crowd at chatter, where we are open for breakfast weekday morning, 7 o'clock at the corner of Jennifer Street Northwest and Wisconsin Avenue Northwest in Friendship Heights.
Is that inside the city line?
Inside the city line. Thank you for reminding me. DC Tree came over to my house yesterday, four different guys, started about 8 o'clock in the morning, were done at about 12:30. I am very, very grateful. I don't want to tell you how much it costs because it's pricey. I understand that. Because they came
That's
right away.
High skill work. I
mean, they came right away and they did a great job. They cut down, they cut up my cypress tree. They removed it. They cleaned up the yard. They were great. I am extremely grateful to them. Very happy for DC Tree. Commend them to everybody out there. Michael, your tree problem solved as well.
Yes, it is. We used a Shiflet tree service, and they were done with our tree in 20 minutes.
Wow.
So our tree was still attached to the offending tree.
It was
tree.
A huge branch it was off a, of
yes,
a standing
a,
tree.
A thick
right?
branch. They come with about, you know, a 100-foot piece of twine that has a weighted, like a little tiny kitten ball at the end of it. They throw it up over another branch to try and support a larger climbing rope. It's amazing the engineering that goes into the way they see solutions that you can't see to solve problems. All of a sudden, the head tree hunter is sort of holding down the tree branch by the road, you know, using basically a secondary tree on the side of the property. I can't see any of these paths, but they did in 15 minutes. They took the tree away. They even helped straighten out the gutter so that before we get the roof people there, we at least know that that problem is at least staved off for a little bit while longer.
I didn't watch anything being done to my tree.
Did they get rid of all that wood?
It.
Or they pile it up for
they
you?
They put it in a chipper. No. It's not good wood to burn.
Right.
It's that evergreen wood. It's really not
live.
That good.
They didn't make a bowl out of it or something like that?
No. Stan Wellborn did not come by to make a bowl. We have other bowls from other trees. Which is how you mark your life as you get older, by trees that fall down and hopefully not on you.
Have you buried more trees than dogs at this point?
No.
Okay, it's close,
I am very grateful that the tree did not fall on any property and more grateful that it did not fall on any people. It was just an inconvenience. That's all it was. And the forsythia will or will not grow back. And I'm good with all of that and I'm grateful for that. So I wanted to lead the show.
Would it have been okay if it had come down on some deer?
I don't know. It would have been squishy. I don't know.
It could have been messy.
I've gotten here a fabulous gift.
I love that name tag.
This is from Cole Kaufman in Denver. I hope this helps you approach tables at Chatter more confidently. I thought it would also help with your transition to Ingleside. You'd be able to wear it and not have to deal with the fellow residents asking for your name all the time. Then when your memory leaves you, well, your name will always be there to remind you and others, signed La Cheeserie. This is a thing I can wear that says Tony K, an owner of Chatter, not a creeper.
It's a name tag.
Yes, a name tag by Custom Name Tags. There is www.namebadge.com, in case anybody cares about that. They can order these things. Lisa Michelle Kane and Eric Charles Holmberg are getting married on March 10th, which is this Saturday,
wow,
is it not?
That's right. Yes, it is.
March 10th this Saturday from Eric Holmberg. Dear Dr. Hoff Waff, encloses an invite to my wedding that is open for all the regulars. For Lace only, the invite is for two, because I assume his awesome wife is the only way to counterbalance his attendance. I kid because I love. Let him know the unofficial toast for the wedding is clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose. Given the distance, I'm aware no one will be coming, so really the only reason I sent this is so you can say, eat it, Johnny T, to fellow little John Toronto of New York City.
What's the attire?
It's in Huntington Beach, California. It doesn't say what the attire is. I imagine flip-flops.
Sounds like West Coast prep.
Yeah, I imagine Johnny O. Everybody's going to wear Johnny O. We have this. I love to read these things. Since Valentine's Day snuck up on me this year, I forgot to send this John Wall Valentine to his biggest fan. Thanks for all the laughs over the years from Anthony Lorenzo. And it's dedicated to John Wall through me. And this one card. It's your birthday, party Uranus off. This is from Jim Moser. I know this card is several months
early.
When I saw it, I immediately thought of you and I couldn't resist. I would love for you to slip it onto the PTI set and not tell Wilbon until after the taping. Mazel tov and La Cheeserie. So I read, this morning, because we have nothing. There's no particular sports. The large tournaments begin later on this week. The smaller tournaments, the one-bid leagues, other than, you know, the Big Ten, have gone on. And by the way, and I think you'll all agree with this, this everything that happens is none of this matters. There's only two to three spots open in the 68-team field. Essentially, this week is to decide whether a team like Syracuse gets in. That's all it is. They know the top 35. They know all the one bids. They're waiting to see is there room for the Syracuses and the Alabamas and the UCLAs, that's all.
In terms of the field, yeah, but winning a conference tournament still matters.
I mean, it matters, but right. The moment it's over, the entire focus on the NCAA tournament.
Correct.
So nothing's really important. So I end up reading one of those celebrity snark stories today by someone who clearly hates all the celebrities that are being written about and clearly hates herself. Because if she didn't, she wouldn't write. She hates everybody she writes about. Now, if you hate everybody you write about and you have to do this is your job, you end up hating yourself because you don't like this job. There are some people who do these things and seem to like them and seem to find some worth here and there in celebrities. This is about a party, an after party, and just everyone's awful.
Right.
Every word of
the
it is mean.
But resents the scene as well. It would be like covering a game and hating football as well as all the players.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I think she wrote this piece last year, and I think she's insanely jealous.
Of
them and their lives and their celebrity. I think that's the source of her anger and her hatred.
It is unrelenting anger, is it not?
Yes.
It's unrelenting anger. Yeah. I mean, I halfway through, I went, whoa, this is just...
Didn't she start out with not being able to find the fried macaroni?
I guess. Balls? I mean, but
yes.
Because
right.
I'm sure that is something that you say to yourself, fried macaroni balls are the symptom of decay in Hollywood. They are it. So let's attack them and anyone who eats them. Right. And by the way, I hate to say this, but probably they're pretty good.
And then
they're pretty good.
And take shots at a couple actresses that everyone, or at least everyone in the studio loves.
Yeah, I mean, just amazing.
Yeah.
So last night I did something that I hadn't done in a few years. I watched an episode of Homeland. I remember when Homeland first came on. I thought it was great.
I thought
it was great. So that's got to be close to 10 years ago. The first season of Homeland. This is season seven.
Okay.
No, I think they take more than a year to produce.
Yeah.
Right. Like The Americans is going into its last season. It's 10 years old and it's only season six. Anyway, so I watch Homeland, and
did you watch the first episode of this new season?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
I didn't. I could not follow it.
Yeah.
I didn't know who was in it.
October 2011. So they've stayed honest to their
okay.
schedule. But yeah,
all right.
still.
So
still
I couldn't follow who was in it. I didn't know what was going on. Apparently, the president. A woman president has essentially declared martial law and locked up all the good people in the country.
Yes.
And there's some subcutaneous revolution going on, and Claire Danes is or is not crazy, and her daughter is now 15 or 18.
She's driving.
She drives Claire Danes around. And I could not follow what was going on. And in the middle of it, as fate would have it, there was a promo for the show Billions, which I believe is on maybe HBO.
Showtime.
Showtime. Wherever it is.
Yeah.
Wherever it is. And one of the stars of Billions is Brody.
Yes.
Is the only reason you watched Homeland for the first season. This is the distance.
Is that Damian Lewis?
Yes. Yeah. This is the distance that you understand. This is when you go, well, okay, they're advertising that guy. That guy was the reason I watched. Now he's three shows removed.
Right.
And now Homeland is a mess.
Maybe you switch to Billions. My friend Barbara loves it.
Billions is fun.
Is Claire Danes still crying all the time?
She cried in last week's episode a lot.
She was angry in this episode. She was forlorn. She was frazzled.
Yes.
She's frazzled.
Would you go so far as famished?
Claire Danes was famished.
I gave up on it because she was too frazzled all the time.
Well, there's a lot that has happened. There was an attempted coup last season. In the United States. Cool. And the interesting thing is, one of the plot lines is there's all these trolls out there that are spreading all these fake stories out there.
Fake news.
Except it's coming.
Hashtag
fake news.
New York
and
Times.
It riles up the right-wing militia types. And then they do this research and find out.
Oh, they have a guy, they have a radio host who's going.
Yes.
He's
Alex Jones.
It seems to be written this morning about whatever happened last night.
It very much feels like
that. You joke, but it is astonishing how quickly they can turn these around in terms of writing them and producing them. Because so frequently, remember L&O or Law and Order. We call it L&O in my family, yeah.
Okay.
But Law & Order used to do those ripped from the headlines, remember?
Yeah, were legit.
Yes, but the point is, a week after the people crashed their sailboat at John's Pass, there's like an episode on TV about it. And you'd say, how do they turn these things around so quickly?
I actually met somebody once who was a writer for that show. They never make anything up. Law and Order. Everything is something they have literally read in the news somewhere, and then they make a show around
it. But this is like, you know, within the next 2 months, you're going to see movies that will remind you of something that happened 4 months ago.
Yeah.
Because they just get them out, get the production line out. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a movie on macaroni balls within the next 5 6
development. Yeah. Tom Hanks is making it.
Also, Marcia Potts, who apparently sends us
toys.
She sends
toys
us stuff
junk,
all the time. Yeah.
Has sent us. What is this?
I think it's an alarm clock, which somehow.
It's an alarm clock?
Yes.
A little basketball.
Does it need batteries?
I think it does need batteries.
I don't
even
know how
batteries.
To describe what that is. It's like a little self contained basketball game.
It says basketball new boom action. And you think it's an alarm clock?
I thought it was like a handheld game.
The name, it's a very catchy name.
What is
it's
the
called
name?
The HZ-288.
That is catchy.
Unique.
I was going to name my child that at one point.
As Michael said, it sounds like a flu.
Yeah.
Unique hand clapping alarm ringtone, innovative alarm system, and creative game. So there's a lot going on.
Wonderful.
And
one of the lucky people out here today is going home with this. This is great. So we'll take a break. When we come back, Seth Davis is going to join us. Seth Davis, who went to the Bullis School, if I'm not mistaken, Lanny Davis. Seth Davis has a book called Getting to Us, How Great Coaches Make Great Teams. And because I like Seth, I'm going to let him talk about this book for about 40 seconds. And then we're going to move on to something else. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Casper ad. You've heard me talking about Casper for some time now, and that's because Casper makes expertly designed products to help you get your best rest at affordable prices. You should see my dog sleep on that Casper mattress. She is happy.
Yeah, loves it.
You spend one-third of your life sleeping, you should be comfortable. The original Casper mattress combines multiple supportive memory foams for a quality sleep service with the right amounts of both sink and bounce. Sink and bounce. They're sort of like Key and Peele, sink and bounce. Their breathable design helps you sleep cool and regulates. I like Key and Peele, by the way.
I like them too.
Yeah, it's funny.
Brilliant.
Helps you sleep cool and regulates your body temperature throughout the night. Casper isn't only a mattress company. They also offer a wide array. That is so hard to say. Wide array.
Yeah, it really is.
That's hard to
say. Unique New York.
Of other products like pillows and sheets to ensure an overall better sleep experience. Not only are you getting the best sleep experience, but Casper, overall purchasing experience is hassle-free. They deliver right to your door in a small, how do they do that, size box, plus free shipping and returns in the U.S. and Canada. And for listeners to this high-quality podcast, this deal, such a deal. Casper is offering $50 towards select mattresses by visiting CasperCSPER.com/Tony and using the promo code Tony at checkout. The only way to get $50 towards select mattresses is by going to Casper.com/Tony and using promo code Tony at checkout. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is True Hearts, sent to us by Nick Raug, who writes, I wanted to send you this song I wrote and put on my new record, Dreamers and Other Romance. I wrote and eventually played this song for my brother and sister-in-law on their wedding day. Isn't that nice?
Very lovely.
Nick Raug's very, very good.
Yes, he is. Prolific as well.
We're happy to have him when he's on the show. Seth Davis of CBS Sports joins us now. Watch Seth over the weekend. Seth was on with Clark Kellogg. Who was anchoring that show? Was that Nance? Nance wasn't anchoring the show.
Greg Gumbel.
Greg Gumbel.
Nance was right down the street at the Garden for the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah, which really belongs there, just like the ACC really belongs in Brooklyn because of all those New York schools. Oh, wait, there are none. There are none.
Well, Rutgers is a New York area school.
Yeah, well, you grew up in Washington, so you wouldn't know that I would know growing up in New York. Nobody cares about Rutgers. Nobody.
Yes.
Zero people. Zero people in New York care even a fig about Rutgers. So,
believe it or not, covering college basketball in 2018, I actually do know that, but I wasn't there. But I heard that there was a pretty big Rutgers turnout in the Garden when they had that first round win. So
nine people, maybe. You have a new book. I had no idea.
Sir.
I didn't put you on the show for your book. I had no idea.
Full disclosure.
Yeah, I had no idea. So tell us. Let's get some publicity for your book.
Now that we have you on.
What is the book?
This is Bashert. This is actually my pub date today. And so this is my very first interview, the first of 8,000 that I'm going to be doing about the book.
Right.
It is called Getting to Us, How Great Coaches Make Great Teams. And in the book, I profile 9 basketball and football coaches at length. Each coach is a chapter. Each chapter's upwards of 10,000 plus words. I had great access to all these guys plus their families. So my basketball coaches are Mike Krzyzewski, Jim Boeheim, Tom Izzo, Gino Auriemma, Doc Rivers, and Brad Stevens. And my 3 football coaches are Urban Meyer, Dabo Sweeney, and Jim Harbaugh. So out today, Getting to Us, How Great Coaches Make Great Teams.
Is there a secret? Is there something across the board? Because I would say in terms of personality, Jim Harbaugh's would be nothing, for example, like Urban Meyer's. So is there what's the common thread?
Well, the common thread is that there is no common thread, which is kind of the point of the book, which is that each coach has to learn how to do it his own way.
Right.
I chronicle what I call the peak profile, which is persistence, empathy, authenticity, and knowledge. And so I trace their lives and their careers about how they developed that. But really, it's the application of small achievements and activities over a very long period of time, hours, days, weeks, months, years, that you achieve that greatness. So the secret is that there is no secret. That's the good news and bad news to life.
This is interesting. Of all the coaches you have named, overwhelmingly, your basketball coaches, well, I guess maybe not for Brad Stevens, but overwhelmingly, they stay in one spot and they build dynasties. Your football coaches, Urban Meyer is on his second really big program. It's Harbaugh. It's Harbaugh that is nomadic. And so I'm sort of wondering how Harbaugh fits in there for you.
Well, again, there's lots of, like you mentioned about the personalities. I mean, you can't get more different than a Jim Harbaugh and, say, a Brad Stevens.
No, you can't.
And so, you know, it's interesting when you go back and retrace. You know, Jim Harbaugh is a guy who grew up moving around a lot because his dad was a football coach.
Yes.
And so what that does is, in the first place, it teaches you how to adapt and show confidence. And as he said to me, you know, friends in life, it didn't come to you. You had to go out and get it. But by the same token, he kind of had a tendency to wear out his welcome sometimes His dad told me a story about when he was 9 years old. He came home and he said to his dad, "Are you going to get another job and we're going to move soon?" And his dad said, "Well, I don't know, maybe." And Jim said, "That's too bad because I just lost my last friend." And he was 9 years old. So, you know, these coaches have very, very strong personalities, and they're constantly on edge. And, you know, a lot of them, Tony, you know this from being around these guys, it robs you of a lot of joy. You know, if you ask 100, you know, coaches, what emotion do you feel more intensely, the joy of winning or the pain of losing? I've never had one tell me that it was the joy of winning. You know, winning is what you're supposed to do. Losing is what you're supposed to fix. And so as they get older, like Urban Meyer is a great example of someone who lost sight of that balance and coached himself almost to his grave, literally, and had to quit and, you know, rediscover what was important in life. And I think a lot of people in a lot of different professions can relate to that, finding that balance between maintaining your edge and always kind of worrying about what's next and trying to be proactive in that way without losing sight of the things that are important, which leads you to do your job worse.
Good job out of you, especially with peak, especially with a little catchphrase. The name of the book is Getting to Us. How great coaches make great teams. And now I'm going to wander away from that for a little bit.
Okay. I appreciate the opportunity to plug. Was I Feinstein-like in my pluggability? I'm working on that.
No.
Not at all.
Because he would have mentioned the name of the book 14 times.
And slam Tony.
Right, and make fun of me.
And that no was a compliment.
Right, yeah. So let me get to one of your coaches. Serendipitously, as Julius used to say, let me get to one of your coaches. And that is Tom Izzo.
Right.
What's happening? Tom Izzo has become a Stepford wife now in the sense that every single time he's interviewed, there's a very blank look on his face. He makes sure to get the word survivors in. He's got the residual fallout from Larry Nassar. He's got problems historically, recent history in his own program. Michigan State is a complete mess. They had, you know, they had a right-wing Nazi guy, Richard Spence, trying to speak to you. It's a mess. It's a mess. And he is one of the most liked coaches in any sport in the entire country. What happens to him?
Well, as far as what's going, well, first of all, and he's got a team that can win a national championship. So you can imagine what it'll be like if they're in the Final Four in San Antonio, the circus that will be.
He's not going to be able to control the questions. He's not.
That's exactly right. And so, as a lot of people in these circumstances, almost everybody who falls in these circumstances, they have a combination of bad instincts and bad advice, which is don't talk to anybody. The media has an agenda. Facts don't matter. You know, you have lawyers with their boot on your neck. They have PR people. Don't say the wrong thing. And it's the worst, stupidest thing that they could do. Whatever you did wrong or didn't do wrong, I mean, the Michigan Attorney General is investigating this. Whatever happened is going to come out. He should have answered. First of all, he should have worked with ESPN. The whole school should have worked with ESPN on their story about all of this. And then, you know, when it came out, he should have answered every question that there was to answer, as opposed to, you know, the optics of not answering questions, which makes it look like you have something to hide. And I frankly don't think that he has something to hide, which is not to say that he hasn't made mistakes. But, you know, these are issues that every university, every workplace is grappling with, this idea of sexual assault. It's not confined to Michigan State. It's not confined to athletics. And frankly, it is very unfair and unfortunate that this gets lumped in the same punch bowl with Larry Nassar, who is an evil monster. And that's not fair, but it is fair to look at Michigan State's broader culture and how Larry Nassar festers. So I've said this to Tom. I mean, I wish that he would get out there answering questions. You know, the idea of, you know, coaches and athletics people grappling with sexual assault and what to do, I think, you know, there needs to be a better way where these decisions get out of their hands. I think we're moving towards that. But in the meantime, there's no doubt that Tom Izzo's image has taken a hit, and I'm not sure that it needed to be the case because I'm not sure the facts are all that lined up against him. But he's clearly made it worse.
Do you think he'll be the coach at Michigan State in 2 years?
I do. If he's not, I think it would be his decision. I don't think it will be the school's decision or anything, you know, barring, you know, absent new information. But he's proud, he's stubborn, and I know that he loves that university. You know, this is a guy,
yeah, he grew up there.
In my book, grew up in, you know, Iron Mountain, Michigan, and, you know, came there as a young man working for Judd Heathcote and has been there a long time. And, you know, I don't know, I mean, you mentioned about, you know, how well-liked he is. I don't know another coach, you know, having been that long at a university that gives as much of himself to that university.
Well, I'll give you one that ended badly, and it's going to sound I don't mean it in a nasty way, but it's Joe Paterno. It's Joe Paterno. I mean, that, and in the end, it was tragic, right?
Well, you know, it was tragic for the Sandusky victims who were not protected by Joe Paterno. So that's why I say absent, you know, other facts. Based on the facts that we have right now, you know, the cases that were cited in the ESPN story, one of them involving two of Michigan State's players, I knew about, we all knew about it, had been covered pretty broadly at the time.
Yes.
You know, it's a very difficult question, Tony, of what a school does when there is a presentation of an accusation. So we all agree that in a court of law, someone is innocent until proven guilty. But playing, you know, college athletics is a privilege. It's not a right. But at some point, we do have to honor the rights of the accused and say, well, just because someone makes an accusation, you're not going to not play somebody. But by the same token, I don't like a coach or an athletic. I mean, if you're a coach and your team is on the bubble and if they don't make the tournament, you're going to get fired. And your best player, who you know and maybe love and really genuinely care for, is accused of something. You know, I don't know that that person should be making the decision. So these are issues that a lot of these schools are definitely grappling with. But certainly there's been nothing in the case of Izzo or, frankly, Mark D'Antonio that would lead me to believe that it's going to be anywhere near what we had with Joe Paterno. But it's a very, very fair question.
Let me go to the other obvious question in college coaching right now. Sean Miller, do you believe him?
Well, you know, I've obviously known him for a long time.
Yeah.
And it's really not a matter of whether I believe him. It's a matter of what's the evidence and what are the facts. And, you know, this ESPN story, you know, has been, you know, a mess.
Yes.
But there seems to be something there of him talking on a wiretap and what he was saying and what he was, you know, the context of it. I mean, it seems pretty evident to me that if he was, in fact, on that wiretap talking about those things, he was probably talking about a different player than DeAndre Ayton. I think that was the fundamental mistake of the ESPN story. But, you know, all this evidence is under seal. And by the way, it's going to be at least a year or two before we really know what's going on. So I like Sean Miller. I've always liked Sean Miller. I certainly want to believe him. I want to believe that he's clean.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't, whether it's Mike Krzyzewski or anybody, let's just wait till the facts come out and then we'll make our judgments based on that.
So, by the way, you said earlier that Michigan State is one of the teams that can win this thing. There's a lot of teams that can win this. I've never seen this. I just don't think in my whole life I've seen this, that in the current list of the top 20 teams in college basketball, and we're in the last week of the season, so it's not a small sample size. Everybody has seen all these teams 100 times. In the current top 20, 9 have 7 or more losses, and 2 have 9 losses. Have you ever seen that?
Well, it's been a crazy year in that regard, and it feels like every year we're moving more and more in that direction with all the roster flux and the mass transferring and all that. I'll say this. People every year like to talk about how wide open the tournament's going to be. And also they say, well, there's no dominant team this year. It's actually the exception when there is a dominant team. But you do usually have a dominant tier where you can say 3 to 5 teams have separated themselves. That's really not the case. I like asking people what I call my net worth question. And in a case like you, it's, you know, considerably higher than for someone like me. if you had to put your net worth, everything you have, on one team to win the championship, who's your team?
Wouldn't do it.
People are stumped.
I wouldn't do it. In fact, one of the things I said to you, I was going to say to you is, if I gave you, after they seeded the teams, if I gave you all 4 number one seeds, would you give me the field? Or would you say, no, I want the field?
That's interesting. I would say historically, what percent would you guess a number one seed has won the tournament? Probably half.
30, 35, 40, somewhere in there?
I would guess it's maybe a little bit higher.
Okay.
And maybe in a year like this, you probably wouldn't. But I'd like to consult my analytics nerds on that one about one. Certainly ones and twos are I think, about two-thirds or higher.
Yeah.
My team, I would say, honestly, right now, as you think about this morning, if I had to pick one team right now, it would be Villanova. I'm not crazy about the way they guard. I'm not crazy that they're so reliant on the three-point shot. But I think they're tough. And, you know, in today's college basketball, I think being a little bit small is good. Being guard-oriented is hugely important. Even their big man, Amar Spellman, would rather shoot three-pointers than post up, even though he's big. And they've been there before and well-coached. But certainly not, you know, I would put Duke up there, Virginia, and then people are coming on to Michigan now. I've been on them since December. I could see this coming because John Beilein's system is so complicated that it takes them a while to get it down. And then once you get outside the conference, they become very difficult to scout and prepare for.
I'll get you out of here on this. You're a Dukie. Everybody knows that.
Yes.
Do you like the fact that Duke is now Kentucky? Does this cause you any pain, or does it give you great joy?
It doesn't. Well, first of all, I don't. With respect to that, I don't feel anything in terms of an alum. I like to see them do well.
Right.
Certainly. You know what the myth is, Tony? That Krzyzewski's made this change. The only change is that he's actually getting these guys. And I think I would go back to Elton Brand, you know, being the first one, because they were the last program to be hit with the underclassmen going pro.
Yeah.
But then he went after a lot of these one and done type players, and they just for whatever reason weren't getting them. I think a big part of it, frankly, was getting Jeff Capel on staff, and so I think he's always wanted these guys, and it's just really the game has come to him more than him adapting. I mean, I don't see what's so wrong with, you know, a 19-year-old kid. First of all, I think all kids at all ages should be allowed to do whatever they want. I'm raising my own kid. If the Boston Celtics want to draft a 13-year-old and pay him $1 million, they should be allowed to do it. I don't care. But the one-and-done rule has been very, very good for college basketball and forcing these kids to be there. I don't see what's wrong with them going to a school, trying to win a championship, and then going and making millions of dollars. I wish I could have done it at the age of 20.
Well, you've done it later, and when it means more, it's more satisfying.
That's right.
Thank you,
delayed
Seth.
Gratification.
The name of Seth's book.
Thank you so much, buddy.
The name of his book is Getting to Us, How Great Coaches Make Great Teams. This was the first interview. He has learned from this what to stress and what not to stress. He will talk about peak for the next 2 weeks. Fabulous. I'll see you on TV. Right. Thank you, Seth.
Thank you, Tony. Appreciate you, buddy.
Seth Davis, boys and girls, Bullis Academy, local kid. Like him a lot. We'll take a break. We'll have news when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show. The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Brooke Lennon ad. I have this. This stuff's good. Okay?
Yeah, you're a big fan.
I'm saying this. I like this stuff. It wants me to talk about the new betting I've discovered. I haven't discovered it. I'm like, I'm not Christopher Columbus. Like, I got it. I got it, and I put it on the bed. Brooklinen.com. You spend a third of your life in your sheets that make a difference with how you sleep. Start getting better sleep with better sheets. Brooklinen.com, highest quality sheets, no big markup. Upgrade your nightly routine, help you feel more well-rested every day. It was founded in April of 2014 by a husband and wife team, Vicky and Rich Fullop. Their philosophy, beautiful home essentials, no crazy prices, no unnecessary markups and fees. Most betting, and I didn't know this, is marked up as much as 300%. I had no idea. Brooklinen is the fastest growing betting brand in the world with over 12,000 five-star reviews. It was recently named the winner of Best of Online Betting category by Good Housekeeping. If you'd given me 100 chances to come up with a best of, I would not have come up with Best of Online Betting category. This is luxury betting underpriced. You have to try these sheets today. I love my Brooklinen sheets. Brooklinen.com has an exclusive offer just for my listeners. You can get $20 off. I'm coughing. Let me take some water. Hold on.
Tony is drinking the water now.
You can get $20 off and free shipping when you use the promo code TonyK at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident that they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all of their sheets and comforters. And the only way to get the $20 off and the free shipping is to use the promo code Tony at Brooklinen.com. That's Brooklinen.com, Brooklinen.com, promo code Tony K. Brooklinen. These are the best sheets ever.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is from Bill Baker in Hinesburg, Vermont, who writes, I've been listening to the show since the Wolf Spider days. That's a long time ago. I'm attaching a song written, composed, and performed by my own little 15-year-old Julia Baker. I myself have no musical talent. Me performing would be a Mr. Tony, I have a piano situation. Cannot thank you enough for the laughs, advice, information, and life lesson you and all the gang have provided to me over the years. I submit Julia's song as my token of appreciation. And P.S., it'd be great if you played this on a Tory day so Julia could feel the mom love.
Oh, it really is lovely. They didn't even need to say that. I was about to say it's really lovely.
Yeah. It's very lovely.
You can listen to this in its entirety at the end of this podcast, as you can with all music that we play during the podcast. Michael, if people want to do that and submit songs, how do they do that?
Send your original music into the show at jingles at TonyKornheiserShow.com.
And we have, we're selling some stuff in-house. We're selling Chatter t-shirts for $12. My daughter bartending today.
That's right.
My daughter bartending today
and tomorrow, right?
Today and tomorrow in the afternoon You know, she will sell you a Chatter T-shirt.
She give you a good deal?
No.
I hope $12. She's better than you. No offense.
I'm
but
a terrible bartender.
Just, yeah, I mean, you were just giving it away.
Yeah, terrible bartender.
Just pouring stuff out. I mean,
Michael? You are a great bartender for a customer.
Right. What are we selling?
We have our usual assortment of mugs, tumblers, TK Show hats, T-shirts, Tell Michael umbrellas. Check it out.
Good. What do we got?
By the way, one final note on Julia Baker, who's singing this lovely song. I think her nickname, and I'm not sure this, is Julia Baker Touchdown Maker.
Is
I'm
that
not
right?
sure.
That's
yes,
exactly
I'm going to have to research that. And before we begin the news proper...
Do you know the name? If I said the name Hobie Baker to you, would you know what that
Hobie?
Is?
Hobie?
H-O-B-I-E,
yeah,
Hobie Baker.
I do know that name. What do I know it from?
Pre-1950s?
Probably so, but that is an award given to the best college hockey player in the United States
yes.
of America.
Oh, that's
the
right.
Hobie Baker Award.
That's right.
Which at one point, I believe, was won by George McPhee, who was a long time. Longtime GM of the Capitals, and now is the GM of the Vegas Golden Knights, who are the greatest expansion team in the history of the world. In the world.
Brian went to see them once out in Vegas. He was out in Vegas on some business thing.
He went to a hockey game?
He's not here, by the way, he's not breakfasting, but he really likes the omelets here.
Yeah.
There should be a little sign on it, Brian's table. Anyways, he was out in Vegas on a business trip, and he didn't want to go to dinner with them, so he went to one of the games, and he says their whole... It's Vegas.
I bet.
They do all this crazy stuff with gladiators and everything else, but they're good.
You any better with that? Have you gotten over that at all? I know that really upset you early this season, how good they were doing.
I don't understand how the other owners can allow an expansion team to be stocked in such a way that they're better. Somebody explain this to me. Somebody did the other day, and I don't know if it was on the air or not. If it was on the air, I apologize. But it works pretty much like this. That after you protect all your first-line guys, the next group are your second-line guys, and they're available... If you take second line guys from 29 teams, you've got the best team in hockey.
Yeah, because no one has 29 second line guys.
They didn't allow them to protect enough good people. So that Vegas has really good people.
So it's not lightning in a bottle. They're actually stacked.
Easier to go from second line to first line than from second line to third line. You go up. So anyway.
And that concludes our hockey coverage for 2018.
Yeah, that's it.
Before we begin the news proper, I would like to turn it over to Gary Braun. I believe you had a statement you wanted to
correction?
Make.
Correction?
Oh, I did have coming to issue up. A correction. If you remember yesterday, I slandered Lionel Richie in talking about... I think my comment was that I thought he was an interesting choice for ABC's American Idol, given his past transgressions, and you sort of looked at me perplexed.
Because
what happened?
No,
I said
I
seem to recollect some violence... Actually, had I said violence with women, I would have been accurate. I said violence against women. He had an issue with his wife.
And in fact,
as a number of
you accused
of littles,
him of domestic abuse. Let's just say it.
I don't think accused him so much as I said I think I
you
recall
intimated.
There being an issue.
Yeah.
And,
strongly.
And I've been corrected. In the late 1980s, Lionel Richie was actually found in bed with one of his wife's friends, and his wife went nuts and beat the crap out of both of them. So Lionel Richie was actually a victim of domestic violence.
Yes.
Certainly.
Well,
not
yes, but you could make the case that he was the antagonist in the story.
Sure. An infidel,
right?
But,
okay.
You know. So,
right.
Apologies.
That
to Mr.
reminds
Richie.
Me of my favorite assault story in DC.
Who Kim did meet back in the day?
It's my favorite. Am I allowed to say? Okay, I won't say it. So a young
just use
woman,
initials. TK,
attacked and possibly killed her boyfriend with a knife because he told her she had a skinny backside.
Really?
Mm.
That was the
that's
trigger?
One of your favorites?
That's
was
one of my
it?
Favorites.
Miss Mom Love over here, am I right? All right.
Go ahead.
To the NFL Combine, Mr. Tony, which I know is something you'd like to pay attention to a lot. But there's a bloke there by the name of, and I hope I'm pronouncing his first name right, Shaquem Griffin.
He is the brother of another player who was already on the Seattle Seahawks.
Right.
Shaquem Griffin, star linebacker from Central Florida.
Yes, undefeated Central Florida.
That's right, undefeated Central Florida. That's right. He had his left hand amputated when he was just 4 years old because of a congenital condition that has not stopped him from becoming an outstanding football player. Initially, he did not receive an invitation to the NFL Combine. However, he finally did. And he knocked it out of the park. His official
he had the fastest time for a linebacker in 20 years.
Yeah, 4.38 in the 40-yard dash. And he also, and this is unbelievably impressive, finished with 20 reps of 225 pounds and the bench press, which is about 20 more reps than I could do with that weight. So
he seeks to be a professional football player.
And I would also point out, think about doing a bench press with one hand.
Well, he's got a prosthetic.
He's got a prosthetic hand.
But still.
Yeah. So so everybody is saying, what, and it's a heartwarming story.
Right.
Now there's a little bit of reality that has to be thrown into this. One is he's a 225-pound linebacker.
Yeah. Well, so he had played safety and then moved up in college.
He's very, very fast. So. But if he gains weight, he's not going to be quite as fast. He's a 225-pound linebacker. So if he wants to play linebacker, this is the great lesson of Steve Spurrier. I'm just going to talk for a little bit about this. Steve Spurrier is one of the greatest college football coaches of all time. And Steve Spurrier had a very, very complicated passing offense that was destroyed in the pros for one reason and one reason only. Pros are really fast on defense. So his plays could not develop. His receivers could not get free, right. And his quarterback got killed because he didn't really understand how much faster pros are. Shaquem Griffin at 225, offensive linemen at 310 to 320 who are not slow, they're going to knock him into the seats.
Well, running backs are his size.
They're going to go right through him.
Right.
So if he wants to play in the league, as we like to say, I think you're right, Gary. I think you play a strong safety position. You play
which
something
I think
like
is
that,
where he played at Central Florida before moving up. And
that's fine. But the one hand thing is a concern. Although Jason Pierre-Paul is now playing essentially with one hand, and he's getting a quarterback. So you can do it.
2016, he was Defensive Player of the Year in the league, in the All-American Athletic Conference, I think, Central Florida.
I don't know. 92
tackles, 11.5 sacks, an interception, and 2 forced fumbles.
And all of that's great. But when you cannot just look at one set of numbers. You got to look at all the sets of numbers here. Right. You have to. That's all. And I'm not trying to throw cold water. I hope it's great.
If Jim Abbott can do what he did,
no-hitter.
That's right.
People should watch. If you haven't watched the video, the run, you should do it because the commentary is great. They're just kind of casually, you know, so-and-so, and they're not expecting him to do much. And if maybe he'll get a 4 or 5 8 or something like that.
it just blows up.
Well, the praise
on
Twitter.
He was MVP of the Peach Bowl.
The praise on the
against the real team.
Yeah, Auburn.
Yeah, against
Auburn,
a real team.
13-0.
That's right.
The praise from Twitter has been overwhelming. J.J. Watt, Von Miller, who said, I would love to play with this guy. So
fine. Yeah. He'd love to play with Kirk Cousins. Hopefully, too. He'd apparently love to play with anybody except the people he's playing with at the moment. Von Miller. Yeah.
Looks like it'll be a homecoming for Ichiro Suzuki, finalizing a one-year deal to go back to the Seattle Mariners.
That's where he started, in the United States.
Yes.
He's a Hall of Fame player. He's one of the greatest hitters of all time. Good for him.
Yes. Do you consider him to be the above Pete Rose in terms of as a pure hitter?
I don't know how you compare that. I don't know what Japanese pitching is like. I mean, Pete Rose has more hits against Major League Baseball than anybody in history, so my immediate answer is no.
Okay. There you go.
But he's a Hall of Fame hitter. He's a great hitter.
Yeah. And obviously
still can hit.
Still can
45
hit.
45
yeah.
years old.
Yeah,
it
looked like he was tailing off, and then towards the end of the season he
don't strike him out.
Yeah.
No, he gets the wood on the ball.
A lot of fun to watch play.
Yeah.
There will be a new president for a new chief for ESPN.
Yeah,
James. I hope I'm pronouncing your last name right.
I don't know.
Pitaro, Jimmy Pitaro.
So here's what's interesting. His name is Jim Pitaro. He's from the New York City area. He went to Cornell. He went to St. John's Law School. He comes from the Disney side. George Bodenheimer and John Skipper came from the ESPN side. This is from the Disney side. And the head of Disney, Bob Iger, referred to Jim Pitaro as Jimmy. So that's sportsy, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's sportsy. I don't know anything about him. I assume I'll get to meet him. He'll probably be the guy who fires me. I mean, I have no idea. I wish him all the luck. Wish
totally.
Him all the luck.
Come up to
sounds
Bristol.
Like a great guy.
It's
if he
hard.
Comes from the Disney side, doesn't that mean we need this thing to make some money?
I would think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's different. I wish him all the luck in the world. Everybody knows this is a tough time for ESPN and all cable companies. This is tough times. People get away from cable television.
This is a fascinating story originating down in Florida, where a lot of our stories go, but this one takes a very strange turn. This is the life and the secret life of teacher Diana Voltich.
What is
I'm sorry.
This?
Busy,
this is
busy, busy.
What is this?
On the surface, it appears as if she was a new teacher at a middle school in an area in Florida, I think about 80 miles south of Tampa.
Okay.
But then on the side, it appears as if...
Tampa's on the west coast of Florida.
Is that, yes,
right?
That's right, yes. The Gulf side, as they say, right?
I guess. I don't know. I don't live there.
I think you can play golf anywhere now.
Yeah.
That's very true. Thank you, Gary. But it appears as if she'd been leading a double life for more than the last year as a popular white nationalist podcaster known as Tiana Dalachoff, who espouses anti-Semitic conspiracy theories and believes that Muslims should be eradicated from the earth. This is all according
to... Can't help her as a middle school teacher, can it? I can't help her.
I would think that that would be problematic for the school to continue
so she's
on with
out,
her.
Isn't she?
I believe she is
and
out.
And what is her excuse? Didn't she say it was all satire?
It was all in good fun.
Yes, this is a statement she put out.
Shtick. Having a bit of a laugh?
Doing some shtick.
Yeah. None of the statements released about my being a white nationalist or white supremacist have any truth to them, nor my political beliefs injected into my teaching or social studies curriculum. She's a social studies teacher.
Of course she is.
Yes. That's who you want, teaching your kids about social studies. Someone who wants to eradicate half the people in the world.
Well, it seems reasonable.
It was only a modest proposal.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. While operating under the Russian pseudonym Tiana Dalichoff on social media and the Unapologetic podcast, which was this podcast she was doing, I employed, and here it goes, political satire and exaggeration, mainly to the end of attracting listeners and followers and generating conversation about the content discussed between myself and my guests.
She's lying. Those are lies.
I'm not sure that's
those
believable.
Those are lies, and she's out of a job.
Nigel, I'm sorry, what's her name again? What's her white supremacist name?
Her white supremacist name is...
Abigail Van Buren. That was just a joke.
Tiana,
that was funny.
Tiana Dalichoff.
Okay, has anybody ever seen her in the same room as that Russian escort who's trapped in...
the one
in Thailand, who says she's got all the goods on Putin and Trump?
The sex coach?
Well, somebody might want to check.
So I don't.
This is a great commercial. Watching a commercial on TV, I'm 85 and I want to go home. Yeah. The E-Trade commercial. Just a wonderful commercial. Just great.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I guess
I can't concentrate anymore. Get rid of this woman.
Anything else, or are we good?
I have one. Well, would you like a story about Donald Trump, or would you like a story about another story in Florida?
Another story in Florida. They're always humorous.
This is in Key West. And I know this is something that you keep your eye on as well. Key West annual conch shell blowing contest.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, this is
a big deal.
This is a big deal.
The Florida chauffeur.
And in the middle of this, 70-year-old Mary Lou Smith, hello, Mary Lou, impressed the judges Saturday with...
Sweet Mary Lou, I'm so in love with you.
With long blasts on that fluted pink-lined shell. And when she was done, 73-year-old Rick Race proposed on stage. So not only did she win, she got a proposal as well.
Nice.
That's great.
Yeah, so we feel happy for
those people. Let's be fair.
The conch blowing people?
The people who are down there. They got their own deal. They don't want to be part of the rest of it.
No.
They don't.
No, they really don't. So there you go. Little heartwarming
story. I remember when the terrible hurricanes blew through earlier in the winter.
Yeah.
Right.
And all the men, nobody has a shirt.
Right.
Yeah. Nobody. They're all national. Nobody has a shirt. You go. Right. You don't look that good.
I believe it was at Hemingway's estate. Yeah. They just stayed. They're like, "We're just going to stay. We got the cats. We're fine here."
Yeah, we're good.
It's very strange.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with Old Guy Radio when we return. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Old Guy Radio for the day. These are the Everly brothers who can no longer record because one of them is not with us anymore. And they hated each other anyway the last 50 years of their lives.
Are there any successful musical group? It often is the smaller ones where they all hate each other.
Well, you spend that much time
do
with
any
anyone.
Of them like
brothers,
each other?
The brothers always hate each other. It
but
works
think
out
about how you Simon, feel about your spouse.
Coldplay, they hated each other.
Simon and Garfunkel hated each other.
Oasis despise each other.
They hate each other.
Yeah, the Gallagher brothers despise.
Abba's the only one
playing this,
like each other.
All I Have to Do Is Dream because it was recorded 60 years ago. It is the most beautiful of all of the Everly Brothers songs, all of which were beautiful because they sounded like one voice. Mm-hmm. They're just great.
I think it was recorded, 60 years ago?
Yeah.
Today? It's unbelievable.
I don't have any particular critical commentary other than it's the most beautiful of all the Everly Brothers songs.
I believe the first version was recorded by the Eden Brothers. It was written by the songwriting team, and I don't know this team, Felice and Budlow Bryant. Are you familiar with them?
I'm not.
Yeah, so no. They published it in 58, and obviously the Everly Brothers.
I know the Bryant brothers who play tennis.
Yes, that's right.
Them.
Whom I mispronounced
Big
their names.
Big fans of Nige.
Yeah, yeah, got one of the names wrong, and they let me know about it.
So I have an email from Chan. It's a wonderful movie about movies, and then it takes a turn. And
not about holiday plans?
No. As for Roger Bannister, well, his obit was on the front page of my edition of the New York Times. I agree that as for individual sports achievements and moments, a human breaking the 4-minute mile, granted after a lunch in Oxford and sort of between other commitments, old chap, must rank as the highest rank of its kind. Perhaps if a person physically flew a few hundred yards, that might top it, but otherwise land speed still takes the cake. Still, so much of sports is a team enterprise that I'm less inclined to elevate a singular achievement like Bannister's into merely sport. Rather, it ranks quite high as human accomplishment, like walking on the moon, flying across the Atlantic, transplanting a heart, ascending Everest, crossing the Antarctic, etc. Of course, to be reductionist, Bannister can really only be compared to Secretariat. You should carry on the conversation on the most impressive team accomplishments, since fandom is all about that, other than golf and tennis.
Was that a diss of Secretariat?
No.
Secretariat's Belmont win is the greatest athletic performance of all time.
Secretariat broke every record. And he knows I love Secretariat. I voted for Secretariat number 8 in the all-time 100 greatest athletes of the 20th century. But what about his point that we should talk about teams? I mean, I don't tend to talk about teams. I think teams are sort of randomly constructed and have too many moving parts, and I talk about individuals.
And if you're talking about the purest of athletic achievement, it's hard to be that pure. I think it's an individual. Right.
But I mean, if there were like the greatest...
It's also tougher to make comparisons over time.
I think it is. Teams. I think it is. I don't think the analytics of that are quite the same. I think I tend to... You know, I give Babe Ruth a lot more credit than the 1927 Yankees. Maybe I'm wrong. Although that has stood the test of time. A reference to the 27 Yankees, everybody knows.
Everybody knows what that means.
Everybody knows.
85 Bears. I mean, there's teams who you know what someone means when they refer to that team.
I mean, I suppose I could isolate some UCLA basketball teams or something like that. I think it's possible. I think it's possible that the Golden State Warriors may be that at some point.
Well, even that's what I was thinking in terms of comparing teams. Even that to the relatively recent history Bulls teams with Michael Jordan, you know, the 70-win Bulls versus the Warriors of a couple years ago, there was all that talk.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know how you do that.
But there's something about, you know, Eddie Hillary, you know, Eddie the Eagle Hillary, and Bannister, they're battling against the forces of nature almost as opposed to an opponent. You know, it's a higher level.
Because that's as much about those things appealed. There's sort of like, they say something about the human spirit, which like team stuff doesn't. You know,
it does.
Well, it's like challenging Bannister and Hillary specifically. It's like challenging the boundaries of what is humanly possible. No one's going to say that about a great Patriots team or an awesome Warriors team. I mean, it transcends sport, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I think Chan's point is that it has less to do with sport than teams. You know, that I don't know. I don't know. I just
I think that would be a good point.
So when he writes an email and I'm on a slow day, I like to bring it up.
Don't misinterpret. We're not crowdsourcing the content. Chan has a direct bat line.
Yeah. Yes.
Chan is great fun to listen to.
Could Michael answer that question any other way?
No, Chan gives...
That's sort of putting
Chan gives, like, if you have dinner...
I'm in a hard place right now.
Chan gives a toast. It's always fun. And so, like, last weekend when we had Michael and Liz and Kate and Bootsy and Liz and Ron, and I said, well, who wants to be Chan? Who wants to give? I mean, I can't do it. Who wants to give a toast?
Dad loves the microphone, except for these dinner situations where you shy away from the
moment
and don't even want to touch.
No, just
want
to eat.
Broader audience, yes.
Just
intimate family audience, no.
No. My left leg is killing me.
Still,
it's 10 days now. Should I get acupuncture?
You should get the Pure Wave. You did not take me serious on that, but it's true. The Pure Wave, which is
that the electrode?
That hurts so much, though. I think that's for horses. You said
it was actually originally designed for people, but we use it on the horses.
Well, what about acupuncture?
And then I've used it because my back gets sore.
Have you ever had acupuncture?
No, but one of my horses has.
Well, so
yeah,
Tracy today. Tracy has a Groupon for me where I can get acupuncture for like $60
from like a guy in a van.
Well, I don't know. I don't know where it is.
I have used acupuncture.
Well, shoulder, on your back?
No. On my back, my back was repaired.
They put needles in your body.
Yeah. I mean, I was at a point with the back where you do whatever you got to do to get away from it. And I will say this about it. It did not, obviously, it did not heal me. I ultimately got surgery. But every time I left that office, walked out feeling better than when I walked in.
So maybe I want to do that. I called the massage people at Columbia yesterday, and they never got back to me. And I said I needed this, and they never got back to me,
I might try that first.
Massage?
But you're sure it's muscles?
It's on the left side of the outer side of my left leg, and it radiates down almost to the knee.
I think it might be a glute.
That's where it seems to start. When I get up, when I'm sitting down and I get up, that first step is enormously painful.
Isn't sitting down more painful than getting up?
All painful.
Okay, yeah.
All painful. Getting up and getting down, all painful.
You
10
days. Get a little physical therapy.
Because I'm old. Where do you go for that? Can you get a Groupon?
Physical therapist?
Can you get Groupons for that? I don't want to start doing it every week.
No, you go twice a week.
No, I don't want you. This is a medical issue. I don't want you using a Groupon.
Should we ask?
What do
we
ask the audience? Acupuncture.
Let's ask the audience.
Has anybody in the audience had acupuncture? It's killing me here. All right. One other thing I wanted to talk about. I really don't like the invention of the 10-day forecast. And I don't.
Because it upsets you?
Well,
how about the 15-day?
Well, this one does.
Well, this one, no. See,
especially when it's said with glee.
Next week, on next Thursday, we're going to do the show on next Thursday.
That's right.
And then I'm going to go up to New York City to see the premiere of Escape to Margaritaville.
Excellent.
I've never been to an opening night of a Broadway show. I'm going to go see Greg. And there's two things that concern me. One is the 10-day seems to indicate we're going to be very much colder than we should be in mid-March.
Right.
And you're going due north in New York. It's a big climactic change. There could be like 3 feet of snow that day. I could end up.
They're supposed to get a bunch of snow in the coming couple of days.
Yes. I mean, I don't know that I can make it to New York. And then once I get to New York.
Pause. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, in the timeline you will be in New York. High of 42, high of 48 with full sun, and then 51 on Saturday.
There you go. Sounds beautiful.
I don't think you're going to have 3 feet of snow.
Okay, so that makes me feel better. And now comes the hardest part of all. The Broadway shows last till about 11 o'clock at night.
It can.
And then there's a party.
That's right. Yeah.
Then there's a party. I last till about 8:45 at night.
How about this? Why don't you go for the first half, then go take a little nap, and come back for the party?
I want to see
in
the
a different
party.
Outfit.
I want to see the party.
Yeah,
I want to see Greg. I want to chat with Greg. And I also, how should I dress?
You got to wear a parrot head.
I was going to wear a sport jacket and a pair of pants, thinking that almost everybody there would be dressed down because they are the people that love Jimmy Buffett.
T-shirts and flip-flops.
I don't know about flip-flops in March, but I don't think they're going to wear suits and ties.
There will be, from what I've read thus far, people do show up in flip-flops and the full regalia, so I think they will be, even if there was 3 feet of snow. But I think a sport coat would be lovely, no tie.
No tie.
Don't you have that Nehru jacket you wanted to wear?
I don't know. But the J. Peterman catalog has such fabulous clothing that I could buy.
And will you drink a margarita? Because I guess they're just crushing the sales at the bars.
Guess I would do that if it was free. Or I got a Groupon.
Yeah, you probably.
Why are you so upset that I would use a Groupon for medical therapy?
I think he cares about you.
I want you to find the right fit with a doctor or professional.
Yeah. Dr. Bai Lee.
If that happens to be through a Groupon, then by all means use your coupon.
Yeah. Right.
But start by getting the right fit.
Have you ever had acupuncture?
No, I'm still healthy.
Would you have acupuncture?
Yes.
Would you let people stick needles in your body?
Yes,
Nigel,
I would.
Nigel, you're shaking your head.
Absolutely not.
You wouldn't do it?
No, I'm not a big fan of needles. Certainly lots of them sticking into me, no.
I'm told that they don't hurt, although I don't know how that's possible. If someone puts a needle in your behind.
No, because you're thinking about like getting a shot or a blood draw. These things are like the thickness of a human hair.
Right. I mean, how do they do any good?
Well, they release pressure. I don't know how it works technically, but they... something to do with your chi.
What do you mean by chi?
Your energy, you know.
Oh.
Your inner energy. Isn't that what they call it? Help me out here, Tor.
I can't stand up. I can't stand up in comfort. I can't stand up in comfort.
We've passed the quota of how much time you can spend about your health ailments.
Well, you should see a physician who will probably prescribe you physical therapy. And you go a couple times a week for a couple weeks, and you're feeling better.
The problem is it's now early March. What did you do this weekend that I advised you not to do?
Guessing golf. Yeah.
Correct. Walk so the first course. Thing your doctor will say is take a few weeks off from the golf course.
Right.
Okay,
that's why you want to go sooner v. later.
Remember when Katie Couric did the colonoscopy live on the Today Show?
Yes.
If you're going to do acupuncture, you have to do it live here.
That would
during
be great.
The show.
That would be very entertaining.
Oh, I don't think anybody wants to see that.
Yes.
No, it's behind. I don't want any... I don't think anybody wants to see that.
Well, we wouldn't have that view. We'd be watching from this side.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Oh, I'll pay for it. I'll pay for the acupuncture.
No. All right. I have nothing else.
A Groupon.
Do you have anything that you want to talk about, or we can get out of here?
No, we can get out of here.
Is there anything that's...
We're going to New Zealand. Brian and I are going to New Zealand, and Devin will be there for a week of it. We're leaving, this weekend.
Will you eat nothing but lamb because they have nothing but lamb?
Exactly. Not so many people and lots of
sheep.
Will
there be a singular home base or are you traversing
around,
the country?
Are you going to Auckland? Are you
lots
going to Christchurch?
Lots of outdoorsy stuff. Both of those. But I'm not much time in cities. Lots of hiking, fishing,
I've heard from five or six people that have gone there. Nobody ever really wanted to come back.
Right.
Didn't Chan go?
Yes.
Did he love it?
I offered to give Tori and her husband some recommendations from my in-laws, and she just scoffed at the idea.
Brian's a
very good travel agent.
He is a really good travel agent. And Devin has been there before, so she gave us some recommendations.
The boy's not going.
No, no. Well, the one boy works, so doesn't have all the time off anymore. The other one, oh my God, I actually meant to mention the Gary. Charlie, sophomore at Michigan, went, despite his older brother's recommendation, did the Cancun for spring break trip.
Yeah.
Worst thing he's ever done in his life.
Why?
Hated all of
Norovirus? It. Norovirus?
Horrible. Everybody's sick. It's expensive. The food is terrible. Everything
really?
About it was terrible. So when your kids are freshman, sophomore in college, Gary, and they say they want to go, just call up Charlie and he will try to talk them
all
out
right.
of it.
All right. Thank you.
So he's at Michigan recovering.
Is that so? Cancun is a. You've been to Cancun?
No, I've not been to
Where
Cancun.
Where have you been?
I've been to the Bahamas a couple of times.
Right.
I did do a spring break with some college mates of mine down to Fort Lauderdale.
Well,
Daytona.
Done that.
Yeah, that was fun.
Daytona?
Yeah, we went to Daytona.
Daytona's a dump.
Oh, yeah, it's very school. Much a dump.
Daytona is a dump.
Yeah, but when you're like.
And proud to be a dump.
Yeah, when you're 19, you sort of fit right in there, you know. Yeah. So that was fun.
All right, so we're done.
Yeah.
We'll take a break. We'll come back with emails and jingles. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Aww.
Tony's boiling rice down in the kitchen. Jesse woke him up at 1 a.m. with the one that said, hey, can I mention my imminent Canadian continents? After days of eating all that plastic, my colon's on the verge of spastic. Jesse let a whimper out, Tony heard I had to make it to the door. Better than the dog on Wilbon's plane, only barked a single time, then swept the floor. I scared that doggy's tummy feeling better, since he doesn't have a pound to cheddar.
This is brilliant. This is Scott Anthony in Los Angeles who writes, I never finished recording this jingle last May when we last heard of Chezzy's Frisbee-related digestive issues. I play and sing all the tracks on my jingle submissions, and life intervened before it completed all the harmony vocals on this one. Given Dr. Mr. Tony's affinity for pet sounds and a family dog's recent recurring regurgitation, I thought it might be fine to dust it off, give it a final coat of paint, and send it in.
Nice work.
It's beautiful. Just great.
Tremendous. Thank
it's
you,
just
Scott.
Great. Before we get into the mailbag, let me thank Seth Davis of CBS. Let me thank the sponsors today, Brooklinen and Casper Mattresses. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of The Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. Two podcasts to mention. On Sunday night, we will do the selection show here at about 7 o'clock.
That's right.
Gary Braun, Gary Williams, Kevin Sheehan.
No, Kip Sheehan.
And Michael Wilbon will join us.
Yes.
And also, there's a show called Hot Mess with Renee and Juanita, and that's going to be on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, Saturday at
Hot
5.
Hot Mess, Saturday at
yes.
5.
Oh, and by the way, Elizabeth will not be bartending today.
She's bartending
tomorrow and
Thursday.
Well,
yes. I thought she was bartending today. Yes. From Max Livingston, and talking about the fact that The Shape of Water won the Oscar. Is this how Tony felt when the Patriots beat the Falcons in the Super Bowl and Goodell had to present them the Lombardi Trophy? Honestly, I hope you enjoy the film. Max, the record store guy from Seattle. I'm going to watch it. Nigel, you say it stinks.
I'm betting you watch 10 minutes of it.
I do have a review I want you to read off the air after this. I think you'll appreciate
Corey
it.
Corey McNulty in Scranton, Pennsylvania, right up Route 81. Here's a new t-shirt idea, a riff of the Shape of Water movie poster. You'd have the Shape of Chatter written in a romantic font below an aqua-silhouetted picture of you in the gentle, loving, floating embrace of Chatter's $25 grilled salmon entree. Talk about moving some product. I would ask you to live tweet your promised viewing of The Shape of Water after its Oscar win, but you know and I know that's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's just not worth it.
From Patrick Smith in Annandale, Virginia. Now that you must honor your promise and watch the mute fall in love with the fish man, can we turn this event into a fundraiser? How about you watch it chatter and sell tickets to the littles who want to watch with you? All proceeds could benefit the National Aquarium or Interspecies Aquatic Love Reserve.
People could donate.
Interspecies Aquatic Love Reserve.
They could donate like a dollar per minute, however long you last. Yeah. You last 23 minutes, they donate 23 minutes.
From Bill Kaplan in Chicago, second time to email. First may have been too scatological because of reference to giving discount for future grandson circumcision. But after listening to last Thursday's podcast, I want to give you a little advice regarding your painful IT band on the outside of my leg. It's mostly inflammatory, so lots of Aleve, lots of stretching of hamstrings in all directions. Ice. I did use ice. And I'm sorry to say, limit golf, as that twisting, especially without warm-up, is bad for you. Also, don't use roll just yet, but use back of large spoon and rub from hip area to knee. Finally, if not better, steroid shot in area helps, as does a prescription for Valtrin to painful spot. Even though I'm a pediatric surgeon, I know this stuff.
That sounded intelligent.
Yeah, that sounded like good advice.
I'm holding on to that one.
Well, rub it with a spoon.
From
obviously
Paul Lawrence in Hampton, Virginia. I was rolling my trash can to the curb in the afternoon last week when I looked up and I saw that the moon had made a daytime appearance. I said to myself, hey, I know that moon. That's the moon on the Tony Kornheiser Show. My own celestial David Aldrich moment, and way better than an afternoon appearance of Uranus. From Dieter Postchi, I hope. My wife called me at work to tell me to check the check engine light was on in our Jeep. I came home and I went to check what could be wrong. With 66666 on the odometer, it was clear what was wrong. Our car had become possessed, and I'm definitely not checking the engine.
Do I
go to an auto repair shop or an exorcist? Oh, if an exorcist has a shingle, I can go to that. From Mike Roseberry in State College, Pennsylvania. Inspired by Mr. Tony's story from Monday, I'm pondering this question. If a tree falls on Saliza in the woods and no one is there to giggle, did it really happen? Zach in Atlanta, dear Dr. Hoff Waff, is Chatter still looking for marketing tips? I thought you might be able to capitalize on the Wizards' recent success with a corporate sponsorship. You could have Bradley Beal talk about how everybody eats at Chatter. Or maybe Gortat could talk about how Chatter works together to make your meal a great team victory. You could even have John Wall try to spoon-feed customers some of Wilbon's chili. I will hang up and listen to your answer. I like that email. Jake from D.C. Yesterday on the show, you mentioned Sir Roger Bannister's sub-4-minute mile and Sir Edmund Hillary's summiting of Mount Everest, being two of the greatest achievements in your lifetime. Just out of curiosity, where do you rank John Wall's game-winning three-pointer and the climbing of the scorer's table in Game 6 of the NBA's Eastern Conference semifinal last year? If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
Can I ask a practical question?
Sure.
Are we doing Stonehenge tonight?
Thanks, everybody. Pictures.
Of an angel that will learn from your Storms and most fellas, so